Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jeff, and welcome back to another episode of Lean In with Jeff. Welcome back, everyone. I hope everyone's second week is going well. It's very sunny today. Today's day began quite gloomy. It was a bit dark, very cold, but it seems like the sun is out and it's getting a bit warmer. So please, everyone, go outside and enjoy the sun. We are officially in week two of the second semester already, and I have a feeling that the semester is going to go past quite quick as well. So enjoy the moments when you can. And I know it's very difficult for everyone to enjoy the process when, you know, assignments, exams are coming in. But I guess, you know, that's what you have to try and enjoy. That's what student life is about. And I'm sure there's a lot of fun things that are going to be going on. Like, the Fun Drive event is going to be coming soon at CITR and Discorder. Please stay out in the lookout. We are going to be holding up some more events for this Fun Drive, a big event that goes on every year. It is our annual fundraising event that we hold up, so please stay tuned for that. We are also going to be holding up some trainings, and tours are actually continuing on with this semester as well. Tours are happening every weekday at noon, so pop in if you have the chance and you want to learn more about CITR and Discorder. And the trainings for starting your own radio show are going to be happening in a couple weeks, I believe. We're still trying to get it all figured out, but stay tuned for that as well. For today's episode, I will be doing a solo rom-com review, a recent rom-com I was advised to watch from one of my peers called Hot Frosty. It was an interesting rom-com. You know, Christmas is over, but I think, you know, rom-coms don't have a set out time for when you should watch them, despite this rom-com particularly being a holiday rom-com, since it is based on Christmas. But it was very refreshing to watch this right now, you know, after Christmas is over. But yeah, today I'll be reviewing Hot Frosty. It is a rom-com that came out quite recently. I believe it was released 2024. So it's a very recent rom-com, very interesting plotline too. There's a lot of fantastical elements to it, since it is about a snowman coming to life as a human, and romance begins to blossom with the protagonist named Kathy, who is recently widowed. And it's a very, very comedic, but very deep movie as well, which I'll get into throughout the episode today. I will then introduce a couple songs that I've prepared for you all to listen. This will be a continuation of the band Controller Controller. This time, the album called History is the one that I'll be playing for you guys today. And then we'll end off with some fun facts about horses. Horses is actually a topic that came up in one of my literature classes, so I just thought that why not learn more about what these beautiful creatures have and contain within themselves. So some facts about horses, and we will end off the episode for today. All right, so before we get started, why don't we get through the Musqueam acknowledgement, some PSAs, some ads, and some show promos, and we will begin the show for today. So here we go.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Nisiam, Nisiaya, Thinkum Queen Ansep, Hydra CM, Nisiam, Nisiaya, Anthasia, Talitin, Homasqueam, Mustail.
Knock, knock. Guess who? MRG Live coming right back at you, this time with a whole new list of upcoming live shows by your favorite artists. Hear this. Marika Hackman, Faye Webster, Empress of, Peter Cat Recording Co., and The Rare Occasions are a few of the artists MRG Live is bringing to you. Follow at MRG Live Official on Instagram to stay tuned with all the artists performing near you.
Right side of my neck still smells like you. Devin Cole is a woman in total control. Unafraid and unashamed, Cole has burst onto the scene through her expertly crafted feminist pop anthems, packaging social truths into repeat-worthy bops. This is the era of fempop, and Devin Cole is an artist you don't want to miss. Join Devin Cole on her Two Shades Blonder tour and see her in Vancouver at the Biltmore Cabaret on March 16th. To find out more and get your tickets, visit admitone.com. That's admitone.com. I should be smitten, but I'm a fiend for the troublesome boy who's driving me wild. Keeping me on the tip of my tongue. Are you interested in radio? Do you want to start your own show but you don't know where to get started? Make your radio dreams come true by joining a collective. From the news collective, the arts collective, the music collective, the sports collective, the accessibility collective, the indigenous collective, and the intersectionality collective, there's something for everyone. And we provide free technical training to get started. Explore these worlds virtually and in person, and be prepared to make fun friends. For more information, visit citr.ca/get involved.
Are you a writer?
Listener?
Dreamer?
Music nerd?
Want to cover artists?
Visit venues?
Write something?
Events?
Personal essays?
Anything.
Submit to Discorder magazine and then take it a step further on Hail Discordia with your hosts, Zoe
and Izzy. Hail Discordia is an audio translation of Discorder magazine. We interview writers, play music and soundscapes, and do a deep dive of each zine issue. Hail Discordia plays at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the third Thursday of every month on CITR 101.9 FM.
Submit something for the magazine and come onto the show, or just tune in and listen. We promise it's worth it.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jeff, and welcome back to another episode of Leanin' with Jeff. I hope everyone's second week is going wonderfully. I can't believe it's already our second week. And I think the weather is trying to tell us something. It is absolutely beautiful outside. The sun is out. I can feel the warmth from this studio that I'm in. But please go outside and enjoy the weather. I hope everyone's school year is starting off, not even the school year, but just the year of 2025, starting off successfully for everyone, kicking it off for another, hopefully, a successful and positive year. I definitely had a great start of the year, but you know what? School is catching up, but I think I've come to learn to enjoy the process and really try to, you know, grab as much happiness as I can throughout this journey. But why don't we get into the episode? So today I will be reviewing the rom-com Hot Frosty. I'm not sure if any of you guys have heard of this romantic comedy, but it came out in 2024, which means it's quite recent. It is about a snowman called Jack Snowman who comes to life because of Christmas magic. Kathy Barrett, who is a recently widowed young woman, discovers that Jack is a real-life snowman. He's a snowman in human form, which adds into that fantastical element. So although this is a romantic comedy, there is definitely a bit of magic and a little bit of fantasy that is mixed and blended in to the story plot, which makes it very entertaining. So that is the plot, and I'd say throughout the movie, there aren't a lot of big stakes other than the fact that Jack, who is a snowman, struggles with the temperature a little bit. So if he's inside of a very warm environment, he will die because he will melt. But other than that, it seems like there is a lot of emphasis on character development, whether it's for Kathy or for, you know, even the sheriff, who is a very core character as well. I believe that he brings in the majority of comedy in this movie. which I find very, very intriguing because he is, I wouldn't consider him a main protagonist, but he's definitely a role that is very impactful throughout the whole plot and the whole storyline of the movie progression. But we can also see a lot of development going on with Jack's character as well, because he is adapting to a society where he is completely unaware of and very new to. So there's a lot of, regulations and policies that he just needs to learn and act upon, because as we can see very early on in the film, he commits a couple crimes, which I will emphasize why the importance, you know, why did it start off with these crimes and what could it possibly represent throughout the movie. So we begin with that, and then I'm going to be going on a deep dive within the character development, and it's very interesting to see how Jack is the one really influencing Kathy's development and just giving her a chance to get out of her quote-unquote comfort zone of just wanting to be sheltered. And she's in this big, deep hole of grief that is not being dealt with in a healthy manner. Therefore, Jack is kind of taking on the responsibility to help Kathy with her method of grief and really just trying to have her move on from the death of her husband and just living the life that she has forward. All right, so why don't we get into this movie? But I want to talk specifically on four scenes. There were four scenes. There were many scenes that I really enjoy, but four in particular that I would like to deeply analyze, connecting it to the themes and the tropes, you know, the influences, the intentions behind everything, and seeing this in a broader point of view and trying to connect this, talking about what I think about the scene. Keep in mind, this is a very open platform. I want my listeners, and I first want to say thank you to all my listeners, but I also want to open it up to my listeners as well. For anybody who has seen this romantic comedy, feel free to call 604-822-2487, and I will be right here in the studio, open to discuss this wonderful movie with you all. But let's get into this movie. So the first scene that I've chosen for you guys today is the interaction between the police officer and the owners of the clothing store in which Jack actually broke the window of. So Jack wakes up, for background context, wakes up from being a snowman. I don't know exactly where the Christmas magic came, but it seems like the Christmas magic was triggered by Kathy's scarf, which she got gifted from the owners of the clothing store, which I believe are Kathy's parents. So Kathy decides to put the scarf on this snowman that was outside of the store. Jack then comes to life, and he is not cold, but it seems like he's scaring a lot of the people in the town for the fact that he is not wearing any clothes. So he ends up going into a clothing store in a very inappropriate manner because he just smashes into the window, takes the clothes, takes the boots, and leaves, which goes to show his, I guess, ignorant nature of just not knowing how society works, at least in the society that he's born into. And so there's a police officer. He is a sheriff, Sheriff Nathan, I believe that's his name. He goes in the next day to the clothing store, you know, begins to talk to the owners, how he is, you know, he's phrasing this as like a big investigation, you know, giving the reassurance to these owners that he will find the criminal. He will find the person, the perpetrator of who's responsible for this heinous crime that the sheriff thinks that it is. So I think immediately we can see this sort of tension and absurdity that the sheriff puts onto this crime scene, especially because the owners of the clothing store do not care. It doesn't seem like they're very concerned about this criminal. they end up reconciling with the criminal and is surprisingly very okay with the fact that Jack broke in and stole their products. However, in fairness, Jack did approach the clothing store owners in a very, very respectful and ethical manner, apologizing to them. And so, you know, this happens later on in the movie, but it's very interesting to see how the owners weren't phased as hard as I thought they were going to be through this crime. But I guess, like I said, this sheriff adds that tone of comedy into this scene because he is almost overreacting in a sense of how serious this crime is and devoting his entire career to this specific incident. And I think it also serves how the sheriff is very dedicated to his job, but it seems like the town that he lives in doesn't have any crime. I think there was a mention within the film where they didn't have crime for like centuries, I believe. I don't even remember, but it was along the lines of a very, very long time. And the sheriff says, you know, maybe this is, you know, a very serious crime. Therefore, he needs to investigate it in a very serious manner. So the police officer who is portrayed with, you know, deadpan seriousness represents those rigid structures of society that the film seeks to challenge. If we look into the visual component of it, the scene likely employs a very stark contrast of, you know, the officer's crisp uniform and serious demeanor to stand out against the cozy, festive backdrop of the town, which creates an immediate visual dissonance that alerts viewers to the scene's satirical nature. And so when we dive deeper into the dialogue and the way that it's delivered, the officer's lines are, you know, again, delivered in a very exaggerated gravity, you know, using police jargon for minor infractions. And this whole overblown response to trivial matters serve as a critique of societal tendencies to maybe, I don't know, overreact in a way in certain things. Instead of taking this in a very calm manner with, you know, having an open perspective and really just engaging with dialogue and, you know, again, calmness with, you know, the owners and the people in the town. But I think it was done in a very comedic manner, which, you know, again, emphasizes that core genre within the film. So then we move on to Jack's character and how he is very inspired by watching the TV. Another background story for this is Kathy ends up inviting Jack to her home because she discovers that Jack is wanted by the town for his crime. So she definitely doesn't want Jack to be taken away. She doesn't know what to do. She ends up going to her friend who is a doctor, and she just ends up wanting to invite Jack. The doctor, who's Kathy's friend, initiates that she would like to take in Jack to her own home. But Jack refuses that offer and wants to go with Kathy since Kathy's the one who technically brought him to life. So Jack and Kathy end up going into the home of Kathy's. Kathy just says, please just stay home, lay low, which is very greatly emphasized in this movie, which I want to touch back onto a little bit later. But she tells Jack to lay low, watch TV, and just chill out until she comes home. She comes back home from work. Jack is immediately shown to be very interested and inspired by the TV and the content that's being, you know, portrayed through the TV. Through that, we can see how Jack is very rapidly absorbing and applying a lot of the information that he's receiving from the TV, whether it's fixing the house or, you know, cooking. He ends up making pizza, which is quite comedic in a sense because he is a snowman. Therefore, he can't physically use the oven because of the heat, which Kathy ends up helping him later on in the movie. So he ends up applying these different informations, learnings that he ends up seeing through the TV. And this really does show a great importance throughout the movie because it can be seen to reflect on Kathy's actions as well. As I mentioned, Kathy is a recently widowed young woman. She is living her life in a way that can be seen to be progressive. I mean, she's going to work. She's not just staying home all day. However, it seems like she is kind of closed off with relationships. It seems like she lost quite a lot of purpose with her life because she lost a loved one, specifically from cancer. And so to see Jack, who is just so full of ambition and excitement to life and just curiosity, it really does open Kathy's eyes to how she should live her life and how people like Jack, who are aware that he doesn't know how much time he has, really just changes someone's behavior and their perspective on how life should be lived. And it's not the fact that life should be lived in a fixed way. There is no way to actually answer that question of how you should live your life. But I do feel like personally that there is an attitude that can be universally agreed upon with, you know, how you should kind of carry yourself through life. And I think attitude is a great way to really help you move forward and push you out of those comfort zones to try new things and, you know, keep things interesting. And not, I guess, give you a sense of, you know, a static nature, because I guess some people enjoy that, but it seems like the characters in this movie, see the static nature as a way to just stop, you know, living, if that makes sense, you know? So Jack, very interesting character. He goes on to learn so many things. He ends up cooking for Kathy. Kathy is very happy with the fact that Jack is ambitious and, you know, he's taking on these steps to learn and actually execute these things. But it also brings her back to how it was like with her and Paul being the deceased husband. And so no matter what Jack does, whether it's positive or, you know, it's something that's fun, it always brings Kathy back to her husband, her deceased husband. And so, you know, this constant struggle with Kathy wanting to erase, I don't know if she wants to erase Paul from her mind completely, because it seems like they had some great memories together. However, it is quite evident that Paul continuously coming up in Kathy's mind is a great pain to her and her life. And so, you know, this is a double-edged sword where she doesn't want to completely forget about Paul, but at the same time, it's bringing her great pain and suffering. And so, you know, going on a bit more about Jack's character, he's very unfiltered, which I think is a quite refreshing character where, you know, and not even a character itself, but, you know, the way that people are. I think there is a lot of filtering that goes on when we talk to people, especially when we don't even know who they are. Jack is very open. It doesn't matter who he meets, whether he knows them or not. Whether, you know, they're just in a diner or in, even the police station, he's just not afraid at all. And that unfiltered emotional expression that he declares throughout the film with different people really gives an emphasis on how, you know, being unfiltered, you know, having that absence of fear with just conversing with people and reaching out does play a great role in building meaningful relationships. And we can see this emotional expression being portrayed to Kathy. And there's a specific scene where Jack says that he loves Kathy. And love is a very strong word. I believe that it is. It's a word that really contains a lot of depth. I don't think it's a word that can be used too lightly. I think it definitely has a very deep meaning to it. And so Kathy, when she hears that Jack loves her, this is in the very beginning of the movie, which means that Jack, you know, again, he doesn't really know what exactly love is. But at the same time, we have a lot to learn of the way that Jack is just so open to expressing his thoughts. And so Kathy is actually quite, she rejects this love that Jack throws upon her. And although that Kathy does take an educational approach to answering why she's rejecting this particular word, we can also see that Kathy's just not ready for love. We can also kind of, I guess, determine or kind of catch on that Kathy is very hesitant with love, because the love that she did give her all was to Paul. And because he passed away, it almost seems that love carries that huge risk and pain at the end of the tunnel. Therefore, because Kathy was exposed to that sort of, I guess you can say, hardship that comes with love, she seemed to be quite fearful about loving again. So there's a lot of things that goes on with Jack and Kathy's character and their whole dynamic, and how, you know, we can initially see that Kathy is taking on that role of teaching Jack about the society that they're living in, the rules that they have to abide by, and how certain actions are just not generally accepted or appropriate for certain situations. But then we get to see how Jack's fearlessness and that aspect of openness that he has towards people and to life and to wanting, you know, to do things and try out things and just pursuing his curiosities, we can see how each of them have something to offer each other, which is a beautiful thing to see throughout the film. Moving on to the third scene, and I want to talk about more specifically about this pizza making scene. For those of you who have been following me, I am a very big pizza enthusiast. That doesn't quite mean I know every single pizza or every single pizza flavor or place. I just enjoy eating pizza. And I think this scene initially it caught my eye and intrigued me because pizza was in it, but I think it has a lot to say about it as well. So beginning with the kitchen setting is quite warm. It usually symbolizes that warmth, you know, the family, unity. It creates that intimate atmosphere. You know, there's a lot of warm lighting into it. There's a lot of close camera shots that are being shown throughout the film and in this scene, which emphasizes the growing closeness that is between Jack and Kathy. And through this, we can slowly see that Kathy is kind of letting her guard down, not particularly towards Jack, but towards all those anxious feelings that she just carries around throughout her life. So the scene really emphasizes the sensory details of, you know, the texture of the dough, you know, the smell of the sauce, the sizzle of the cheese. We can kind of see that throughout this scene. And Jack's experiences with these childlike wonders really reminds me of how important and crucial it is to enjoy these, I guess you can say, simple joys, which are often overlooked when you're just overwhelmed with so many other things in your life, which in Kathy's situation would be her husband. And so we can see a lot of these things. You know, Jack is not only bringing this explicitly positive energy to Kathy's life, but he's also helping her realize that there's a lot of joys that she's missing out in, and a lot of happiness that she can collect from her life that she's just not aware of simply because she's being blinded by all those, you know, struggles and those emotional hardships that she's just going through. So it's a very beautiful thing to see. I think this simple pizza scene really does make a great pivotal moment for Kathy in realizing the true depths of what it is to live a happy life. So lastly, I want to go into the scene of the middle school dance. I think that was a very interesting choice. It's not a high school, it's not a university. They're not adults, it's a middle school dance. So I wanted to dive a little deeper into why this middle school dance. And I think we can start off on the bat with, you know, that whole, like I said, childlike wonder and that curiosity and that when you're a child, at least for me, there were just so many less things that I worried about. There weren't a lot of things that I was concerned about either. I was living at the tip of the iceberg, if that makes sense. And I wasn't aware of the chunk of the ice that was below the tip of the iceberg. I was always living in the present, if that makes sense. So what you see is what I did, if that kind of is phrased correctly. So I think what I mean by this is when you're curious, you just do it. There aren't any back thoughts in your head when you're curious about, I don't know, what it would be like to pour some water on sand and see if that would make a sandcastle. You would just do it, you know. You would just get a random cup from, you know, classroom and just get some water and just experiment. And I think that whole aspect of being so free with your thoughts is just such a valuable skill that, you know, sometimes we tend to lose throughout our life because, like I said, we have more and more things to consider. And I think this middle school dance once again emphasizes that skill of just, you know, just like children, just like these kids in these middle school dances, sometimes simplicity is the key to happiness. Sometimes you just need to open your eyes and see what's right in front of you. And if you don't, you can miss it. And when you do, you can't really go back and you know, re-experience something that's already passed. So I think it's really just, you know, emphasizing on the fact that we should be present. You know, we should be able to enjoy, you know, these dances, these small, you know, there's like punch there. There's like a DJ playing, you know, very interesting decorations. So all these different aspects that we may think that are quite mundane is actually a very, very important thing that we should be able to appreciate and be open to viewing. And so Jack's behavior at the dance really, you know, oscillates between that childlike enthusiasm and attempts at mature sophistication, which he tries to go for when he asks Kathy out on a date or on a dance date for this event. And so this mirrors, you know, that awkward transition of, you know, early adolescence and, you know, providing like this ample comedy throughout the film. So the scene includes these humorous moments where, you know, Jack is sweating a lot because there's so many people in the gym because he is a snowman, but then, you know, wanting to continue on with, you know, his plans, he ends up, you know, orchestrating this whole dance thing that he wants to show Kathy so that he ends up dancing with his students. And Kathy just, you know, is just looking at him with great joy, but then she realizes that Jack is going to melt if he just continues on with dancing. And I think branching off of this, it's really important to see how Jack, despite him sweating and quite literally risking his life from dancing and just enjoying the moment, he continues to do it with such great joy and positivity and happiness. You know, even when Kathy brings him out of the gym, he ends up, you know, the joy just doesn't leave his body. You know, he's just verbally just continuously just telling Kathy how fun it is to dance and just the whole event is just going great. And I think this is, there's something to say about this moment where I think in order to feel and to experience true happiness, we just have to embrace the risks that come with it, you know. And I think when we don't, then we're just too scared of the risks to even get a chance to see the happiness at the end. And I think there's a very, very important message that goes behind these scenes that I've decided to talk about for you guys today. So that's it for today's movie review. I hope you guys enjoyed that episode, but that's it. I do recommend this movie for you all. It is a Christmas movie, but like I said, who said that there is a timeline for certain movies? You know, sometimes we can watch Christmas movies during the summer or early on in the year. It doesn't really matter. I think it really does. It just matters on how you view the movie in your specific time or where you're at. And when you learn something, you learn something. So I don't really, it matters too much. So for couple minutes, I'm actually going to be playing on two songs that I have for you guys today from Controller Controller. The first song is going to be called History, and the second one is going to be called Silent Seven. So we'll begin with History. I hope you guys enjoy this song. I will see you guys in a couple minutes. And once again, feel free to call the number 604-822-2487 to discuss whether it's continuing on with the movie or discussing the song that I've prepared for you all today. But why don't we get into the listen? I'll see you guys in a couple minutes. We'll be right back. That was History by Controller Controller. The second song I have for you guys is called Silent Seven, so here we go. Alright, that was Silent 7 by Controller Controller. For the last couple of minutes I have with you guys, I'm going to be going over some fun facts about horses, because horses are wonderful creatures. I am actually kind of scared of horses. I want to go horse riding one day, but at the same time, I'm very terrified of them because of how huge they are and how strong they are. But despite that, I still appreciate their beauty. So why don't we begin with the first fact. So horses apparently can sleep standing up, and this is according to the Spruce Pets website. But horses can sleep standing up. I'm sure that you guys have heard of this. I think it's kind of like a common fact. I think I also mentioned it in my shows as well. But horses apparently can sleep standing up. But it does say that in order for them to go through a full restorative sleep cycle, they do need to lie down for that. So I guess if they need to have really great sleep, they would have to lie down. But I guess it's still possible for them to stand up and sleep as well. I think I do remember very briefly about a scene where a horse is standing up in, I think it was the movie Charlotte's Web. I'm not quite sure if this was the exact scene of it, but I think it's always been in the back of my head where horses can definitely sleep standing up. And I don't know if this is for other mammals as well, but it seems like horses have the ability to do that. I honestly wish that I could sleep standing up. I don't think it's as efficient. You know, I can, I guess, sleep sitting down, but it's definitely not going to be as great of a sleep as if I were, compared to if I were lying down. But I wish I got the same amount of quality sleep if I were to stand up, because how great would that be? Just stand up, you know, and you just sleep. You don't need to find a cozy bed sheet or like a cozy area or a cushiony floor to actually lie down. You can just stand up, you know, where you are and fall asleep. The next one is, you can estimate a horse's age by their teeth. I wouldn't quite know how you would be able to do this, but apparently you can. So reading off of the description, horses need proper equine dental care for their teeth, but sometimes a horse lives longer than the teeth do, so extra care is needed when feeding senior horses. I guess from judging on this description that there is a quality of teeth that these horses carry around that determines their age. I guess it's not the quality of it. I guess it's just the state of the teeth. So I guess if you examine the teeth, you can kind of estimate what age they are in, or they are. That's quite interesting, though. I wonder if that's the same with humans as well. If we can determine some sort of age of someone, I guess we can, because there are experts who examine deceased bodies. And so there are probably definitely biological ways or scientific ways to examine a human's age through body parts. The next one is, horses can live to be more than 30 years old. Whenever I read these questions about age, I always wonder what the equivalent a year for horses would be compared to humans. I definitely know that dogs are different. I know that animals are different as well, but I'm not quite sure what the exact metric it'll be. But that is very interesting. 30 years is a very, very long time. I wonder what the longest living horse was and how old he or she was. I really wonder. But the next one, which would be the last one for today, is that horses are herd animals. So they do move in big or small herds. It seems like they feel comfortable if they have companions around them. It can be quite stressful for horses to be alone. I don't know if that's the same with a lot of animals. I mean, if I was an animal, I definitely would be very lonely if I was just the only species existing. I would definitely want some companions around me. Even as a human, you know, I think feeling lonely is just such a universal thing that we all, I guess, in one moment in our lives can feel. And through those moments, having some sort of companion around you, whether it's a friend or a family or even sometimes a stranger, it really does lift you up in your emotional void. All right, guys. Thank you all for listening. That is it for today's episode. I hope you guys enjoyed listening. It is very great to be back. I really love doing my shows. I love, going on air and talking with you guys. And next week, please stay tuned because I will be doing another rom-com. But this time, she will be our first guest for 2025. So please stay tuned. I'm not going to disclose the movie that we are going to be discussing so I can leave you guys with some sort of anticipation for what the show is going to be about next week. But please stay tuned. It's going to be very exciting. It's going to be a very great conversation. And keep in mind, this guest can be you. You know, I'm very open to having so many different perspectives and opinions and backgrounds on my show. And that's what my whole platform is about. So whether you want to discuss rom-coms or, you know, a bit of literature or stories or about your own personal story, I would love to have you on. Just, you can either call the number 604-822-2487, or you can, most likely, I'll be at the station. So if you just pop in at the CITR station and look for Jeff, I'll most likely be here eating lunch or working on my episodes or doing homework or whatnot. But I'll be usually hanging out here. So please don't feel any hesitant towards approaching me. I'm more than happy to have anybody on. It is an absolute pleasure for me to have this privilege, to have this platform and, you know, get a chance to engage with so many talented people. So, yeah, that's it for today's episode. Thank you all once again for listening, and I'll be back next week with a phenomenal episode. The sun is still out, guys. I think this is your chance. Please, if you like the sun and if you like the warmth, please go outside. Enjoy it. Enjoy it as much as you can, because the sun's going to go down in a couple hours. So, all right. I hope you guys have a wonderful rest of the day. Good afternoon, everyone. And I'll see you all next week. Have a great week, everybody.